time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, this is my Don't Look Now series. This is about, I guess, things that have happened to me in the wild with animals. The title of this show, Don't Look Now, But There's a Flying Squirrel on My Head. Well, I was going out to do some of my kestrel research with two of my good buddies, Dr. Warbler and the Featherman, and of course, obviously me, Joey B. We worked a lot with farmers. We were working in the East. We were working on a nesting project to see if we can get kestrels to nest and get their reproduction numbers up a little bit. The kestrel is the smallest bird of prey. It's a falcon and a really, really cool looking bird. Well, he's got these awesome colors because he's got a slate blue to it. Because if you happen to be a birder, you notice that most of the birds of prey don't have some really, just beautiful colors. But this guy here, he really does. And an easy way to identify this guy is as you're driving down the road, if you see a bird on a wire somewhere, and it almost looks like he's got earbuds in because you see his head and his tail like bobbing up and down to music, you should slow down because it's probably a kestrel. Well, we worked with a number of the farmers in the region, and we were setting up the nesting boxes, and we built the nesting boxes where there was a pin on the side where you pulled the pin and the side opened up like a trapdoor, and you can actually get in there, take a look at whether there's eggs or there's fledglings, birds that are about to fly, and this is how we had set this up. So part of our gear was always going into the wild with a ladder, some of our other research gear that we had, and we'd be going into there and just going out and checking up on the birds. But you should know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experiences will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So what we looked for was an ecotone. This is the boundary between two ecosystems. So we would, again, we had to communicate many times with farmers, and sometimes we were on state lands where we were looking for the two ecotones was a forest, because the birds would actually build their nest right on the forest edge because this was protection, next to an open field or a farmer's field because this is where they could hunt. So that was a perfect place for them, that boundary. Well, with the farmers, we would set it up because think about their open fields. And the number one food, because kestrels have a number of foods, their number one foods happens to be crickets. Well, guess what? If you're a farmer, you're going to want to have kestrels nesting near your property, because if they're going to take care of any part of the insect population, they love insects, they're going to be helpful to you. So farmers were just very open-minded to, our ideas, what we wanted to do, what we wanted to accomplish, and welcomed us onto their land. And again, that's the perfect just working with farmers, and again, growing up being a farm boy, this is a real good thing for me. So one of the places we found was this perfect ecotone forest on a farmer's fields, and he had some soybeans there. And the nesting box, we went up, put the ladder up, opened it up 1 week, and you could actually see that there's a clutch of eggs inside of there. So when we came back the next time, we waited a few days because, again, knowing that they're going to fledge in about 30 days, and that's one of the most amazing things that people don't realize is how hard, all birds, how hard the parents work to feed their offspring. Because think about this. The natural protection for an animal, a bird, is to fly. If he can't fly, he really can't protect himself well. So for that reason, they work so hard to feed, just constant food, to get their body weight up, to get their feathers. So in about 30 days, they can fledge. And that means they're going to fly for the first time. So just before they were about to fledge, we were going to go up there and we were going to band them with a U.S. Fish and Wildlife band. And obviously this is a specific number that's on that band, and it's only for that bird, so we can keep track of it. Anyone else can track that bird, throughout its lifetime. Well, we went up there. Dr. Warbler's up there, takes a nesting bag, puts bang birds in a bag, comes back down, pulls out a bird. I'm going to hold the bird. He's going to tag the bird. And then, you know, eventually we're going to put them up because they weren't ready to fly, but they were just about there. We're going to put them back up in inside the nesting box. And I'm not a rookie at this. I've worked with my good friend, Giselle Smisco from the Avian Wildlife Center. We filmed up there very often. If you want to see some of my filming adventures with her, just go to joeybee.tv, joeybee.tv. And we go out. I've got the kestrel in my hand, and Dr. Warbler is tagging the banding the bird, and as he's doing it, Kestrel, a little bit nervous, sort of squirms a little bit, and he puts his talons into my hand. And I guess the best way to equate this is it's like getting, instead of an ear pierced, a hand piercing without Novocaine. So as I slowly pulled the talons out of my hand, and because I'm a real man, I didn't scream or cry or anything like that. We just took care of it. Nesting birds back up. And hey, wasn't this show about flying squirrels? Well, you know, yeah, it is, but I'm sure that you know with me and my stories, we'll get there. Because anytime I head into the outdoors, I've got to take my fishing rods with me. Because hey, if I can fly fish somewhere, or if I happen to have a little spin gear, I've been designing a spin rod with a company right now, so I take one of the prototypes with me. So one day, Dr. Warbler and I, we're near one of my friend's farms, Nancy Nolte. You probably know her. Brother of the actor, Nick Nolte. So we're on Nancy's farm. And at Nancy's farm, we have a big John boat there. And all we do is go down, flip the John boat over, push it out. Very stable boat. Leaks a little bit, but hey, you know, what's a little wet feet when you catch lots of fish? So every time you flip the boat over, there's always a couple garter snakes underneath it. So as we get down towards there, and I tell Dr. Warbler, I go, hey, by the way, I'll flip the boat over. I'll shoo the garter snakes away. And then we'll get into the boat. All he wanted to do was he's Dr. Warbler. All he wanted to do was bird. He's not a fisherman. So, and he begins to tell me that he is deathly afraid of snakes. And I sort of smile a little bit. Like, hey, guess what? There are only garter snakes in it. So I flip the boat over. He's at a little bit distance. And I shoo a few of the garter snakes away. Vroom, 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 pull a couple out of the boat. Vroom, flip the boat over. Push it into the water. He said, they all got us. Absolutely. And we get in the boat and push off, and I'm fishing away and catching a bunch of fish and having a great time. He's doing a little bit of birding. And I glance behind him, and at the corner of the John boat, there was a small garter snake sort of just like poking his head down and then coming back up and poking his head down. And I continue to fish, but I guess this little smirk on my face gave it away. And he said to me, he goes, there's a snake in this boat, isn't there? I go, well, I want you to know, and it's a good thing that we were probably about 5 feet from shore. He jumped out of the boat, and he made land in one boom. And, you know, I just continue to fish because guess what? I like snakes. They're in the boat. He really never even came out. I would see his head from time to time poke out. And I continue to catch some fish. He continued to bird from shore. But, hey, there's my Dr. Warbler story. Well, one of the days, three guys, Dr. Warbler, the Featherman, and I, we headed up to the northern part of the state, which was mountainous and had lots of hardwood forests. We were going up to Stokes State Forest. And we were going there to put nesting boxes a little of the way in past the ecotone. So, you know, we talk about ecotone, the forest and the field in this case, because it could be any two ecosystems. But this is the one we were working with. And we wanted to put it a little bit into the forest to see, well, how far in would a kestrel actually go to nest, you know, would he nest there? So we probably went sometimes 20 feet in, sometimes 50 feet in just to see this. And I'm sure you know if you have a question, comment, you can tweet me at Joey B News. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E-E News. Well, we planned a number of these nesting boxes in there. And as scientists, you know, we experimented and see, you know, where the kestrels were. So we put them in. And then one day, you know, it's time now to go check to see if we've got kestrels inside there. So one day, the Dr. Warbler, the Featherman, and I, we carry our research gear and a 15-foot ladder. And I volunteered to check the first nesting box and put the ladder against the tree. And this is the amazing thing. I can be in the top of the Rocky Mountains. I could be looking down at like 12,000 feet straight down. And I think it is absolutely the coolest look in the world. Hard to describe that if you've ever done that. Yet, when I put a ladder up against the side of my house and I have to go up 15 feet, 20 feet, I'm not afraid, but I'm not excited about it. So I put the 15-foot ladder up against the tree, and I'm the first one to climb up. My good buddy the Featherman is down at the bottom, and he's holding, securing the ladder. So I quietly pull the pin on the hinge, opening the nesting box, slowly opening the door, and a flying squirrel jumps out, lands on my head, and launches off my head and jumps into the tree next to me and climbs away. Well, after I cleaned out my shorts. Well, seriously, it's funny. I don't get scared very often, but a northern flying squirrel just jumped on my head. Well, the Featherman and Dr. Warbler, they thought that this was hilarious. So, I mean, sure, if it happened to one of them, I'm sure that I thought it would have thought it was very, you know, when something happens to someone else, it's funny when it happens to you at the time. At the time, it's not funny. So here's my first question to you out there. Why do you think the northern flying squirrel launched into the next tree and scampered away? You know, what are your thoughts? Well, we began to discuss this after I was obviously on the ground, but we began to discuss this, and, you know, when I peered into that nesting box after he launched off my head and, you know, into the tree, and I looked in, and there were three baby flying squirrels. All three of them could have fit into the palm of your hand. There were these tiny, I mean, you were talking about cute and cute babies and awesome and all this. Well, here's what we figured out. The mom wanted me to chase her to take me away from her babies. This is how she could protect her family. I mean, when you're out there, you know, obviously the launching and all that funny stuff. But guess what? This is how the mom is protecting her family. That's pretty neat. So I pull out my camera. I need to take a photo of these babies because how could you not have it? So I begin to, you know, zoom a little bit and zoom in and out, and I need to lean a little bit away from the tree. And then I realize I'm 15 feet in the air on a ladder, and I recognize that probably leaning away at this point is probably not the best thing that I could do. So I quickly take the photos. I climb down. Dr. Warbler and the Featherman are on the ground, and they are still laughing. Well, now it was okay for, you know, me to laugh and, you know, I guess reset my heart. So, you know, we took care of that. So we venture up to the next nesting box. And at the next box, it's the Featherman's turn to climb up. Yeah, so we're joking about, hey, be careful. One's going to launch on your head, blah, blah, blah. We go on. So the Featherman has the ladder 15 feet up. The Dr. Warbler, he is actually holding onto the ladder. So the Featherman is up there and gingerly pulls the pin, opens the box, and a northern flying squirrel leaps out over his head and onto the next tree and is gone. Well, when this flying squirrel launched out, he kicked a piece of his nest and it fell down the front of the Featherman's shirt. The nest was filled with fleas. Now it was my time to laugh, because on the top of the ladder, there's the Featherman going, ah, as he's beating his chest, not manliness. He's beating his chest because the fleas are now biting him. You remember, when it doesn't happen to you, it is funny. So this time, it was real funny because it was the Featherman. Well, after he climbed down the ladder and cleaned out his shirt and probably his shorts, you know, we laughed a bit. Big conversation about, you know, what was going on. And I was trying to figure out at that point, were we the three stooges or were we the three scientists? To this day, on that day, I'm not real sure. Well, every nesting box after that in the forest was filled up with northern flying squirrels. So, hey, Dr. Warbler, you know, he didn't have to have any flying squirrels launch on his head. He didn't have any northern flying squirrels you know, kick fleas down his shirt. But Dr. Warbler and I figured that's why I'd share with you the snake story, because I couldn't leave him out of the equation on this day. And I just want you to know that this is the first part of my Don't Look Now series. I've had many more crazy adventures with critters in the wild. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's at the adventure. 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 That was awesome.